This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, we're throwing a perfect game on Sharp Money. Domingo Herman style. We go from Femi to Josh Applebaum. That's awesome as we welcome you back. Today's a big day for us here on VSiN. Of course, the 2023 NFL betting guide dropped today. The reviews, I've got people emailing me, people that listen and watch VSiN telling me they love the guide. You should check it out. It's VSiN.com/subscribe, as low as $19. And remember, our summer special, $175. So as we welcome you back, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher, Josh Applebaum, Thursdays here on Sharp Money, VSiN betting analyst, author, The Everything Guide to Sports Betting. You can find that over at Amazon. Morning Bets, 15 minutes to start your day, and Market Insights podcast with Josh over at VSiN.com, Josh_insights. It's cracking, my man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Patrick. Dustin, great to be with you, Amal as well. So yeah, Patrick, it's the dog days of summer, but grinding baseball is fine with me. Maybe we'll dabble into a little NFL here pretty soon, but definitely recommend that betting guide, which is fantastic. I got Patrick, real quick, I got baseball for you, but two division bets that caught my eye. They're kind of chalky, but one would be the Chiefs to win the AFC West. They've won it seven straight years. They went from minus 160 to minus 165. They're getting 40% bets, 75% money at BetMGM. And then also looking at the Jaguars to win their division. Got a bunch of good, bunch of rookie coaches and quarterbacks. Titans aren't really that impressive. Jags made a big leap last year. They went from minus 150 to minus 165, 29% bets, 52% money. So that's my quick contribution to the betting guide. You should get it today. Give me the Chiefs and the Jags to win their respective divisions.
No, I love that. I should ask you, there does seem to be some heat in the streets for your Patriots. I mean, it's a good start not to have a bad defensive coordinator as your offensive coordinator. So we start on a positive, or else are the vibes with the Pats right now?
So the Pats are a little perplexing right now. I would say that win total 7.5. One thing I noticed is to start the summer, it was juiced up over, like it may go to 8. Well, that's completely flipped. So it's actually 7.5 at some shops, under minus 120. Part of that obviously is the really hard division that they're in now with Aaron Rodgers and Miami loading up and Buffalo loading up. Right now, Patrick, what I'm looking at is what everyone's talking about here, at least around New England, is Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Hopkins. Will the Patriots make a play for either of these guys? They're kind of thin at running back behind Ramondre Stevenson. They just signed Devontae Parker. I thought they gave him way too much money. 3 years, $33 million. I mean, he got hurt every game and he really didn't do much. He's slower. He doesn't really have a very, impressive game, but they gave him quite a bit of money. So is that to, kind of move the cap open, to kind of move money around so that they can afford Dalvin Cook? Or maybe DeAndre Hopkins. That's what I'm waiting on right now. I think we find out this year, Patrick, whether Mac Jones is someone you can build around, or maybe they don't pick up his option when his rookie deal's over.
Josh, you mentioned Mac Jones. Let's talk about that. Bill O'Brien comes in as the OC. That experiment with Matt Patricia was horrific last year. First of all, give me your thoughts as a Patriots fan and the perception of Mac Jones in New England, and then also the experiment with Matt Patricia. I know nobody wants to go against Bill Belichick, but what is kind of the rumblings around New England with that decision last year and how bad it was?
So what's funny, Amal, is, we've gone like completely 180 here on Belichick. I mean, before Tom Brady left, it was Belichick, Brady, they're 50-50, in terms of how responsible they were for all the dynasty and all the Super Bowl wins. But once Brady left, won a title, and once Bill has kind of shown, and if you look at a lot of his numbers with Brady, without Brady, I mean, he's a below 500 coach without Brady. So he's made a lot of weird decisions. Remember, he let Brady walk and didn't have any plan. He had to sign Cam Newton late. Then he brings in a bunch of hammerhead coordinators here who don't know what they're doing and completely set back Mac Jones a couple of years. So to me, Belichick, it's right now, guys, it's like he's coasting for the record. He's going to get it. It's going to take probably two more years. But there's not much excitement. It's just, Bill, do you want to win, or do you just want to like get the guys you want, make it comfortable, make it easy, work with your sons? To me, I think we're going to get a better Mac Jones this year, but Bill, to me, I don't know. I just feels like he's coasting to get the record. I'd rather have the old Belichick, the cutthroat Belichick that made moves, too early versus too late.
Tisk, tisk, tisk. Fickle fandom up in New England. Hate to see it. Hate to see the whole region turn on Bill Belichick. He has such a sunny disposition.
Such a nice guy, Patrick, switch. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it seems fun. Let's switch. We'll talk about New England here. Let's go Boston.
You got a Fish play. I don't know if you're on the Fish or your Red Sox, but Miami, we've been a really, we've talked about midway through the year. What a great surprise the Marlins have been. Lizardo Vibello. We've got a number of 112 on the Red Sox. You got a total of 8.5, Josh.
So here I am just betting against and bashing all my my local teams here, Patrick. I'm going with the Fish today. Pretty sharp line move in their favor. You mentioned how Miami's been a great team to bet on this year. They're 47-34. If you had bet $100 on every Miami game this year, you're up almost $1,100. They've been kind of still, there's an anti-public bias against Miami, small market club, but they're getting the pitching. They have a really deep lineup here. They just got Jazz Chisholm back. And for today's matchup, Patrick, we've seen Miami go 2-0 so far this series. They won the opener 10-1. They won 6-2 again yesterday. And look at the number on our board right now. It's a very short favorite for Boston. But if you actually go where this line opened, it opened as high as Red Sox -130, -125. So public's relatively split. You're only getting about 57% of bets on the Marlins. So it's not a huge public play, but this line has really, really fallen away from Boston toward Miami. Tells me that the Fish here are taking in some respected action. One good system I really like, Patrick, with that matches here with Miami is a road dog with a line move in their favor. Now, when you're going contrarian in baseball, obviously it's not as heavily bet as like the NFL, but public is really going to lean on, and really there's nothing else to bet on right now but baseball. So you're getting a lot of public bettors coming in now who haven't really been grinding since opening day, and they're going to bet on mostly favorites and home teams, so home favorites. So going contrarian would be looking at some of these road dogs. But if you're a road dog with the line moving in your direction, which matches with the Miami Fish today, you're 108-104, 51%. But because of these dog payouts, plus money payouts, 17% ROI. So that would match here with Miami. Miami's playing great, 18-6 their last 24. Boston's 1-6 their last 7. So I'm going to take the plus money here with Miami, around even. And to me, the Red Sox, if you watch them play, Patrick, they look like a little league team. They boot the ball around, they make errors. They're really frustrating right now, even though I am holding an over 78.5 win total on them.
Josh, let's go to one of the great baseball markets in America, St. Louis. They take on the Houston Astros today. The Astros are a team, even though they're sitting in second place at 43-37, it just doesn't seem like they've been put together consistently. JP France on the bump today against Adam Wainwright, who's been inconsistent all year.
Yeah, Amal, you're totally right. Mention Adam Wainwright, 3-2, 6.56 ERA. But if you look at what he's done in June, in four starts, he has an ERA of 7.08. So obviously a guy's had a really long, great career, won some championships. However, he's really getting knocked around in this season. So I'm going to bet against Wainwright. We've seen this line go to the Astros. This game actually opened, guys, around a pick 'em or very slight Astros, like -110. Now the Astros are up to -120. So we're seeing this line move in favor of Houston. France has been good for Houston in particular. In the month of June, he has an ERA of 3.08, and he's actually, ironically, way better on the road than he is at home. On the road, he has a 2.40 ERA, at home, 5.01. So he's on the road here tonight. We've seen this line go toward Houston. A couple system matches here. If you look at road interleague favorites, they're 74-40 this year, 65%. But if you're an interleague road favorite off a win, you're bringing in some momentum. And you saw yesterday, the Astros came back, came from behind to win that thing. You're 46-17, 73%, 22% ROI. So again, I'm waiting for the Cardinals to kind of make this, you know, late summer move that they typically make. You're not seeing it right now. There's something wrong with this team. I'm going with the Astros here with this good sharp line move, around -110 up to -120.
Josh, you're getting married in a month. Adam Wainwright could have showed up at your parents' wedding. I'm saying he's old, okay? Let's just chill. Wainwright's like in his 40s. Let's go here. Phillies Cubs to end it. I kind of like the price with Hendricks. It's Walker v. Hendricks. Little surprise here. You get a plus money price with Hendricks, who's been good since coming back. Plus 106 with the Cubs, $1.16 with the Phillies. Got a total of 10, Josh.
Yeah, so Patrick, you're totally right. You know, the Cubs do look like they have some value here, a little plus money at home. You're at Wrigley. Hendricks has been really good since he's come off the injured list. Hendricks so far is an ERA of 2.60. But I'm actually going to go Philly in this one. You've seen some movement toward the Phils. Some books open, some global openers were as low as like -110, -115. Now we're showing -116 on our board. I'm seeing some books around -120. I wouldn't consider the Phillies like the sharpest play in the world, but they're matching quite a few systems, and there's a bunch of advantages that Philly has right now. So for example, Taiwan Walker, Hendricks has been good, as you mentioned, Patrick, but Walker in the month of June, he has a 1.50 ERA in five starts. Phillies are 8-2 in his last 10 games, and the Phils, who were off to a really slow start to begin the year, have really gotten hot recently. They're 17-5 in their last 23 games. Their lineup is finally what they've been waiting for. Schwarber, Turner, Castellanos, Harper, Realmuto, Alec Bohm. I mean, that first, you know, 5-6 batters there, really impressive here. But one reason I like the Phillies in this one, Patrick, non-division road favorites off a win. You don't have to worry about that divisional dog angle. Teams in that spot, a non-division road favorite off a win, they're 94-57 this year, 62%, 5% ROI. And if you're a road favorite who made the playoffs last year versus an opponent who missed, you're 133-90, 60%. So you've seen the Phillies with the better bats, fresher bullpen for today. Shout out to Steve Mackinnon, who does a great job with the bullpen rating system. But I'm going to go with the Phils here, Patrick. Let's see what happens over the next couple hours. Do you see the Phils kind of creep up a little higher? Do you see it fall down a little bit? I'm already locked in the Phillies here, but totally respect that you saw value on the Cubs.
Guys, real quickly, Philadelphia is sitting two games outside of the wild card. Four games behind the Marlins. If you had to bet today, which one of these teams would you take to make the postseason, the Marlins or the Phils, or potentially both?
Go ahead, Josh.
Ooh, that's a tough question. Patrick, I would consider both here. The one thing I would say about the Phils is, look at that GM, Dave Dombrowski. He is not afraid to make moves. If they're hovering, you know, around that wild card spot, you get to the trade deadline, I could see some big moves that he would make, maybe to offset or to kind of supplement his pitching. So I like both these teams of all. You might see a few teams out of that NL East make the postseason.
Have to assume the Marlins come back to the pack. The town, it's wild what they've done. And I totally, the Dombrowski call is a great one. He's old school. He'll trade for a big name. He's not worried about the future. Dude's old. He wants to win now, Applebaum. All right. You're the best. VSiN betting analysts, of course. Morning Bets is the pod in the morning. Wake you up. And then the afternoon market insights podcast at Josh_insights. Josh, enjoy your Thursday. It's great to see you. Thank you. Say hi to Elise as well. And Meadow. We come back. Three up, three down. A little baseball.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, check out the splits over at VSiN.com. Money and bets for every game. Updated every 10 minutes straight from DraftKings, today's games, and future events as well. Betting splits exclusively at VSiN. Check it out, VSiN.com. We got you back here, Sharp Money Busy Show. It's a busy day here at VSiN as we dropped our 2023 NFL betting guide. You can find it at VSiN.com/subscribe. I encourage you to check it out. You won't regret it, I assure you. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Jensen Lewis is going to join us in about 14 minutes, talk a little baseball. Let's get an update on day baseball. I'm going to tease you a bit. Of course, Vinny Maliulo, always a lightning bolt on Thursdays. Looking forward to the electricity at the top of the hour. Just quickly, a couple things. One, I'll tease you. We've got three up, three down coming up as far as baseball. Jensen Lewis, former Major League Baseball pitcher, I just mentioned. But also, three-point stance. We've got a tackle on a team that's going to contend that just got suspended for four games, got popped for PEDs. You have to stick around. Also, NFL has suspended four players for gambling violations. We'll get into the details coming up in three-point stance. But let's get caught up. Maybe a little baseball and find out what's happening with the day baseball. I know the big guy, and I don't know if Amal jumped in. We are on that team total with the Angels 4.5. Also, big guy, you were pointing to an under in the first five in Oakland. What's up?
Well, things are not going great. The A's scored in the bottom of the first. Then in the top of the second, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa hits a deep shot to center, and Ruiz, the center fielder, goes up to rob him of a homer, has it in his glove. It looks good until the glove falls off of his hand over the fence for a home run and the second run. There in the second inning, it's now 1-1, top three, Yankees A's. We are officially sweating.
Why does that not look good then? All right, I understand your buster out in the outfield, but we're sitting on two, top of three, two outs. We're in the mix. What are you complaining about?
I would prefer to...
You're just so negative. You're a negative,
no,
Nelly.
I want to get through the first two innings, you know, a little bit before halfway through the bet with no runs scored.
But you know, every time
reverse psychology, I'm on to you. You're being whack.
Hey, well, let's put it this way. You're a favorite right now.
I don't know, man. They got a runner on base. The Yankees, like, they keep threatening. They keep threatening. I don't like it.
Two strikes, two outs. I might be behind you with the runner on.
If we get out, okay, let me ask you this question there. BG, if we get out of the top of the third, 1-1, you make the same bet? Under 4.5?
No, because it's the A's and it's me. It's a dangerous combination of bad things happening together.
See, he's doubling down on pride, Amal. That's all he's doing. He's doubling down on pride. I've given him every opportunity to come out of his little trance, and he refuses to do so.
Hold on. I'm going to solidify this right now. Dustin, I will buy your playoff of you at under 4.5 right now. You want to sell it?
No, because I'm in it for the ride. I just want to feel something, whether it's good or bad. It's the same reason why I will go and eat $25 worth of Taco Bell at night. I just want to feel something sometimes.
Yeah. You're funny. Okay, let's see. Tigers up 4-3.
Not
good for
me.
Bottom 7. What's that?
That one's not good for me either. See, it's a bad day. I'm on the Rangers team total.
Day.
I thought I was. Yeah, I'm over 5. And we're only at 3. Top 7, bottom 7. Not good. Not looking good.
So you've got 9 more outs to go. Zip it. Guardians up 2-1 over the Royals. Hapless. They're J.A. Hapless this year. The Yankees, we mentioned, 1-1 right now. Top 3. We're going to win that under 4.5. I feel it. The Rays. I got the Rays. Rays are up 1-0, top of 3. Got 2 runners on, nobody out. Fought back the young arm for the D-backs. And the White Sox have plated 1 in the top of the first. 2 outs, a runner on second.
So a note on the White Sox. Luis Robert with a single to right. Eventually a run is scored for Chicago there. He might be one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now, hitting .346 over his last 7. 5 home runs in his last 6 games, 7 ribbies, absolutely putting it together, a monster season. But nobody's talking about it because the MVP race is already over in the American League.
You're absolutely right about that. Quick update from Kansas City, by the way, at Kauffman. The Royals have tied it up in the bottom of the 8th inning. Nick Prado with a single with 2 outs to plate a run there. And you mentioned the Rangers. Look, they just did a tremendous job in the top of the 7th. Bases loaded, a run already in to make it 4-3. Nobody out. They get out of it. King comes in. John King comes in, gets out of that jam. Now you got Simeon on base, and this offense just seems to get it going in late innings. Patrick, I was bailed out the other night, had the run line for the Rangers against the Tigers. It's 3-2 in the 8th inning. They score 5 runs in the bottom of the 8th. This Texas team at home, you're never out of situations.
All right, well, Sweetledee, Sweetledum needs them to go over 5. So, but you just got out of that top of 3. You want to go ahead and sell your ticket now? Still 1-1 with the Yankees and Athletics. I'm just asking.
I need to say bad things about it so I feel better when good things happen. How do you guys not grasp this? You guys sit there and go, oh, the ticket's good. I love this ticket. It feels so good. And then only to be let down in the end? How do you do that?
No. You've always said things have gone against you. You have that negative disposition.
Yeah, my life is terrible.
Hold on a second. Well, why don't you try and change that with a little bit sunnier disposition, and it may change the outcome of certain things.
Because the words won't change the results.
So, but why do you have to rain on the parade? Patrick knows he's in a great spot. I just asked you. The in-play total is right now 3.5 for the first 5.
I just want to feel bad about it until I can feel good about it.
All right.
You know what you need?
Prozac.
I was going to say something. I can't say it out loud. The Rays, by the way, went off at a little plus money. They're up 3-0, top of 3, runner on third, nobody out. Love to see it. Fought. I said this before the game started, so it's not Monday morning quarterback. I hate what the D-backs are doing with this kid. Bringing him up after he got rocked in May. Now they bring him back. He's getting crushed by a team that hadn't been hitting in the Rays, so we shall see.
Also, what's the mindset for him? Is this an audition to be on the big club or an audition to be traded?
I don't know about trade, but that's Patrick's whole point, right? When you've got a pitch with that kind of pressure that every time you're going to go from the private plane to the bus ride, it changes the dynamic of how you're performing.
Yeah, I think they might be showcasing him for a trade. If he goes on a little bit of a hot streak here, all of a sudden they could say, look, he's ready to be a part of your rotation. Give us a ready-made arm for the front end of ours with him in a package.
Well, he's down 3-0, top of 3, runners first and third, nobody out. So teams aren't necessarily salivating right now. Again, it's one start, but it's not a tremendous look. What else before I get off it? All right. That's it. It's a good slate today. How about this? I forgot to mention. How about the big guy? Cashing a plus 175 last night with the Rockies
as they hold on. That was wild. That was your typical Coors Field game with the Dodgers in town. We were going back and forth. The Rockies jumped out to like a 5-0 lead. And then the Dodgers came back up like 7-5 or something like that.
I thought it was
then
over.
The Rockies played at like 5. It was just a wild back and forth mess. But plus 175 cashes. Heyo.
You know, the Rockies went up early, and I looked in my account. I was like, oh no, I wanted to put a little bit on the Dodgers, even out the ticket, bet a little to even it out, take a little bit off the potential winnings. Had no money in the account. I wasn't reloading just for that bet. So then by the time another bet cashes, now there's money in the account where I can hedge. I couldn't because the Dodgers were winning.
You know, Patrick brought up a good point with the scoring yesterday, and this might be an angle you could look at, an in-play betting and a yes or no run prop per inning as the game is progressing. Yesterday, there were 17 runs scored, 17 at-bats, because remember, the Rockies won the game at home. But there were only five of the half innings where a run was actually scored. You had a six spot by the Dodgers in the fourth, two in the eighth. Rockies 1, 3, and 5. It's amazing in that ballpark how many times there aren't actually runs scored in innings, but you get those bushel of runs in a certain inning.
Speaking of runs, the Angels are on the board. 1-1.
Yes, sir.
Thanks to a team home total run from Mickey Moniak.
Well, Lance Lynn and Patrick Sandoval living up to their billing. Start 1-1, bottom one, nobody out. Don't love the leadoff man getting on in Oakland, but
I'm telling
you, we will fight. Shut up.
We're going to have to claw this one out.
Okay, fine. Claw it out, dummy. Hey, and when you say you don't have money in your account, what you mean is you do have a lot of money in your account. It's just wrapped up in 1 million futures.
Yeah, okay? I'm very scared at the end of this baseball season. We're going to do the math, and everyone's gonna be like, congrats on hitting a 20-1 and a 30-1. I'm gonna be like, yeah, but I'm down like 4,000 units.
Whoa, by the way, boys, the Rays just scored again. Nobody out, top of three, wow. Fought. Has given up 6 hit, 4 earned already, and it could get ugly as we're just top of 3, runners first and second. So that rookie is getting absolutely shelled. Looks like it's 3-2 count. Not great in Oakland.
Someone got thrown. Nope, stolen base. That's not good.
Don't love to see it. No, okay. See, now your negative vibes are permeating the show.
Yeah, but
would you like to apologize to the rest of us?
Because here's how it works. You're supposed to make it feel awful, as bad as you can feel about the bet, until it cashes and it makes feeling good that much better. Like jumping in an ice bath then into an average temperature pool, that pool feels so much better after the ice bath.
Somehow you've managed a crippling drug addiction with your just constant want to feel something. It feels like you would be banged up by now. I give you credit. We come back with Jensen Lewis talking baseball here. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, our guy Jensen Lewis joining us in a second, but first, bet $5 to get $150 in bonuses instantly using the promo code VSIN over at DraftKings. You can download the app or go to DraftKings.com. Again, it's VSIN with the promo code. As we welcome you back, I should apologize to the big guy as the A's have plated 2 in the bottom of the third, so we're looking under 4.5 first 5. It's not great. Got you back here, Sharp Money. I'm Al Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. I mentioned Jensen Lewis. We love Jensen. SiriusXM, Major League Baseball Network radio host, of course, JLou50 on Twitter. Pitch for the Indians, 7-10, third round draft pick out of Vandy. And he's got to get in the Circa Millions this year. We're going to get him in there. And when you come out to Vegas, you're going to come in studio with us. But also, Derek Stevens is going to treat you like a king over at Circa. So I encourage you to do so. Hi, Jensen. How are you?
I'm good, boys. I guess then I got to flex the former big league muscles and get us, a cabana or something there so we can watch some of the games and we can live the high life all over again like the glory days.
That is necessary. I have to ask you about this. So we've been talking about this little storyline. It's getting ugly in Arizona for Brandon Pfaadt. And that is the best arm in Arizona's system right now. It's a kid they called up in May, got absolutely shelled, or pitched in May. I think it was 5 games in May, got shelled. They call him back up because of the blood clot.
And right now, he's sitting top of three. He's given up six earned, runner first and second, nobody out. I wonder, Jensen, from a mental perspective, how this affects somebody like that.
Yeah, it's not good, Patrick. And unfortunately, knowing while ballyhooed he kind of was in that system and how enticing it would have been early on to be able to bring him up maybe sooner than later. As you mentioned, out of necessity, Merrill Kelly with the blood clot, unfortunate. That's the injury that sidelines him. But I think for young arms, and you know, we kind of see this with some guys early on, they just kind of get overwhelmed and maybe running into a couple of good offenses. It really didn't help him too. He's running into the Rays, you know, one of the best offenses going right now. So unfortunate for them. Otherwise, just a lone blip on the radar, you know, Patrick, for a team in Arizona that feels like they've done almost everything right up to this point in the season.
Jensen, to kind of follow up on a similar question to what Patrick asked, when you're a pitcher, or even if you're a young hitter, how much pressure do you feel? You were a middle reliever, you come in situations, not only to close that game out or to hold that lead, but just mentally, because you're thinking about your career and what you're trying to achieve. You got the dream of making it to the big leagues, but then the goal is to stay there.
Yeah, Amal, it's the hardest thing to do, right? And get there, stay there, and be effective to be relied upon for years to come. And you know, that goes as much in the rotation as it does when you're trying to make your way to the back of the bullpen. As someone who pitched in basically every role, I started in a setup or a middle relief spot in 2008. I was pitching the seventh inning my rookie year in 07, got an opportunity in some leverage situations into the middle of the later half of my time up in 07, and then pitched, you know, meaningful innings in the postseason. And it's all about being able to be reliable and effective. And, you know, the more you can gain the trust of your manager, and it doesn't always have to be with the lead, doesn't always have to be, you know, when the game is tied or behind by a run, you know, just to be able to fill up the strike zone like that. Managers go to bed at night and lose sleep because of guys that they have to look at the lineup card and say, I can't roll him out there without knowing that he's going to be able to at least force guys to put the ball in play. It's the worst nightmare for managers, knowing that they got guys that just can't command the baseball. So when you look at effective bullpens and you look at teams that traditionally are towards the top of the standings, they got probably 5-6 guys rolling out of bed that can pound the strike zone. And it doesn't matter really what roles they're in. They're just effective because they force the hitters to beat them.
Jensen Lewis, our guy joining us here, Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. His backdrop, anytime you can flex with your backdrop being a picture of you pitching in the majors, you should definitely do so. And just for those of you listening on the radio, that's what Jensen's doing. Major League Baseball, we're at the midway point. Let's talk about some surprises and some excitement. This has been a hell of a year, a very fun year. You look at the way Votto's reacting to De La Cruz there with Cincinnati. That's awesome.
Yeah, and the Reds, probably one of the best stories. And we know we just talked about Arizona. I would put the Diamondbacks and the Reds as the two best stories to this point, and no disrespect to what the Pittsburgh Pirates did for the majority of April and May. They fell on some hard times, but Derek Shelton, my old hitting coach with Cleveland back in 07, has just done a remarkable job there in putting the Pirates in a spot where, hey, they're in it. And all the talk with Pittsburgh was, all right, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you trade a David Bednar or maybe a Brian Reynolds. Well, Reynolds signs the extension. It sounds like Bednar, you know, a hometown kid wants to remain there, and they're in contention. So it's going to be a wild scenario there in the National League Central if, you know, the Brewers, the Reds, the Pirates, and the Cubs all stay within maybe a handful of games of each other. I think on the National League side, just overall, the disappointments are probably, Patrick, the most glaring thing. You look at the Padres, you look at the Mets, you look at the Cardinals. I mean, I don't think any of us could have predicted the Padres. I mean, they just got swept by Pittsburgh. They've lost five in a row. I've talked with Bob Melvin earlier this week on MLB Network Radio, and it was just, you could hear the angst and the stress and the fatigue that's gone through trying to piece it together there for San Diego. Same can be said for the New York Mets. You know, historic high payroll. Steve Cohen comes out yesterday and is kind of saying, yeah, all contingencies are being planned for. That's not what they expected when they went out and they spent that kind of money on that roster, but this is why we play the games. I think the American League side, there's no question about it. It's Tampa and Texas. I think more so probably for Tampa on the power front. Not sure we expected them to hit the amount of homers that they have. But I think also weathering some of the starting pitching injuries. Jeffrey Springs was unbelievable starting the year. They lose him for the season. Getting Glass now back, weathering a little scare here with Shane McClanahan in the back issue. And then really just the offense front to back being as consistent as they are. Texas guys, if you're looking at a future, I mean, for them, they're not going to get a lot of love probably with Houston still being right behind them there five, six games back. I'm sure that a lot of people would want to double down on Houston to win that division. But, I mean, it wouldn't shock me to grab Texas right now at their price to possibly win the pennant. They're going to go at the deadline likely. They're going to find ways to help bolster the back of their bullpen. And then I told you guys before the last time I was with you, Baltimore was playing as well as anybody in the American League. They are going to be heavily involved for a starting pitcher, if not two. So a really exciting time on both sides, the senior circuit and the junior circuit, to see where these playoff spots are going to be had.
Yeah, Rangers right now 5-1 to win the pennant. Astros with a trailing six games in that division behind the Texas Rangers. Justin, I just want to build upon what you were talking about with some of the failures with the Mets, the Cardinals, and the Padres. From our perspective as bettors, when you look at these teams currently sitting in the, you know, 6 to 12 games under 500, 15 games under 500, what kind of mental approach does a team have when you're looking up in the standings and you see 8-9 teams ahead of you, 7 to 12 games back in the standings? We're in the middle of July, August. Are guys just kind of playing out the string, or is there still a sense of urgency and, hey, we can get this thing going in the right direction?
Yeah, I would think on the National League side of them all, and seeing that the Mets are still over a week out of a playoff spot, I mean, you can get to a point where you have some of those higher ticket item players on there. And, you know, Max Scherzer kind of alluded to the fact that, yeah, he's open to waiving his no trade clause. Now, if you're a team that's acquiring him, knowing you've basically made a $57 million wager on, is he going to be great for you the rest of the year? And then if he doesn't opt out, then you owe him $43 million for that next season. And what does that do to your payroll that season? That is a really big risk, I think, for any contending team. You would basically have to force Steve Cohen to pay the lion's share of that, and then you'd have to part with a really good prospect or two. I think from the wagering front of all, when you look at, you know, a Mets and a Padres team, we'll just take them because I still think San Diego has the best chance. They remind me of a Philly team last year, and if you guys remember, they had lost Bryce Harper. Philly did right around this time last year, and a lot of people wrote them off and said, well, that's it. They've lost the heart and soul of their team. I think San Diego needs a reset. I think they've got to get to the break. Everyone kind of scatter and clear their heads and then come back, have a meeting together before that first game and say, hey, it's not the first half we envisioned, but there's way too much talent here for us not to be able to get right, get on a run, and be able to get into that National League postseason picture.
You know, you got me thinking when you brought up the injuries to the Rays. They're still your favorite to win the AL pennant. And this is what's great about baseball. It's 162, but here's another reason. We've talked nonstop about the Cincinnati Bengals. You can analyze the Bengals up and down, and up and down. But if one thing happens, if there's a rolled ankle for Joe Burrow, the season's done. Baseball's different, Jensen. Like, for example, Tampa Bay can still win a World Series. They just lost two of their best starters. The team picks them up. Alcantara has been terrible this year. The team picks them up. The Marlins are sitting there, what, 12 games above 500. That's the difference. Baseball is the ultimate equalizer because there's so many games. It's the best.
And respecting the marathon, Patrick, you know, I mean, you could play horribly in the first 3 months of the season, kind of hang around a little bit, and then be able to just be the best team in the second half. I mean, we're all old enough to remember when San Francisco went on that run, winning 3 of 5 championships in that 5-year stretch. They might not have been the best team in 2 of 3 of those championship years, but they got hot at the right time and won it all.
Stick around, Jensen. Always two segments. SiriusXM Major League Baseball Network radio host, of course, former Major League pitcher Jensen Lewis continues here on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Huge day for us here at VSiN. Exciting day. The 2023 NFL Betting Guide dropped early this morning. Did you get your copy? It's pretty simple. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Intro offer of $19.
easily, remember, it's not just the guide. You get all the picks every single day for that price. And then $175 if you want to get everything we offer through the Super Bowl. It's vsin.com/subscribe. Now, I think we have an update in Kansas City. Amal, I'll come to you with that as we welcome you back here on Sharp Money. Jensen Lewis joins, of course, SiriusXM Major League Baseball Network radio host who does the pre and post for the Guardians there on Bally's. And speaking of the Guardians, Amal, do you have an update?
Do right now, Jose Ramirez on third base, top of the 10th, two outs. He steals home plate. Now, he was called out in the live action. Replay just reversed the call. Call stands. He stole it on Chapman. And he was about, Jensen, about 40 feet down the line before Chapman even released the ball. Perez made an incredible attempt, but you talked about it during the commercial break. You think Jose Ramirez is the best runner in baseball. And I'll tell you what I saw on that slide backs up exactly what you said.
And he just defies sometimes, and almost like we've seen instances where he creates a run himself. Like he'll get a walk, steal second. Back in the days where you had that overshift to the right side with guys following him, he'd steal second and then immediately get up and go to third because of how far over the third baseman was as far as the shift goes. And then, you know, anything in the dirt, he is just sniffing home plate. So doesn't shock me whatsoever. And I tell you, they need this the way that Beaver pitched today. You can't afford to blow that lead and lose a possible sweep knowing how your ace pitched this afternoon.
I can say this because I'm a Tigers fan. Jensen, that division's a disaster. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, the Tigers don't even want to win, and they're in the mix. Minnesota can't hit a lick. The Guardians should be running away with this. And again, there's still a half a season to play, so they probably will. This is their division to win.
Yeah, and Patrick, and you know this from watching the division in the last few seasons, and even since Tito has been there in 2013, I think they have the best record in the second half as far as the American League goes. So, you know, for them, and again, a lot of this, we mentioned Beaver, he's going to be the topic of trade conversations here moving forward. A lot of teams going to call Cleveland and see what it would take to possibly get him out. But, you know, if they're in it, they're going to go. I mean, it's hard to see them if they're atop the division come trade deadline time, parting with their ace, knowing that they still at least have him this offseason and next year under team control.
Jensen, let's go to Fenway. Good pitching matchup today. Jesus Luzardo against Brian, Bello. This kid's been good for the Red Sox. I think he's a guy that surprised a little bit. I like the way he's dealt so far for Boston.
Yeah, I really like Red Sox money line tonight. I think Bello coming off the last two to three starts and then talking with Alex Cora a little bit. Just his attack of the zone, like really, really getting in the zone and forcing the issue in the first two to three pitches. He has really been phenomenal at being able to do that. And it might line up just right here for the Red Sox at home against Luzardo, left-handed pitcher. So a little bit more advantage right-handers here and knowing to lift the ball with the Green Monster. I think Ref Snyder is going to be in there with the extra right-handed bat with Turner hitting the two spot. Verdugo has been phenomenal. So top of the order feels like a good spot to look at. And I just think the way that Bayo's been pitching, Red Sox would be my play in that game.
Just quickly here, want to mention breaking news out of the NBA. It looks like 76ers guard James Harden is going to pick up his $35.6 million option. That means it looks like it could be the end of Harden in Philly. Both sides are working together and exploring trade scenarios. This is coming straight from Woj. So again, it's expected that Harden has played his last game for the 76ers. Right now here on Sharp Money, we're joined by Jensen Lewis. So I hate to bring this up because we've talked about it ad nauseum and so have you on your shows. But if I told you that a baseball player offensively would lead the majors in OPS, home runs, RBIs, and then, oh, by the way, as a pitcher, have a 3 ERA, third most strikeouts in baseball and the lowest batting average against, you'd say I was lying. How can you frame exactly what Ohtani is doing?
He's a superhero. It's like putting Iron Man and Superman in the same body. I don't even know if Tony Stark has a way to dream up something like that, but he's just, we've run out of adjectives, I think, at least on the air and the media, to describe what he can do. And I think the only thing left is, if you're Perry Minasian in that front office, you got to put your chips in the middle. If indeed he's going to free agency, which all indications are that he is, why not? Why not go for it all? You know, go out and try and get a Stroman at the top of that rotation to help out, or a Giolito, or heck, if you really want to go all in, if you can pry Dylan Cease out of Chicago too, what a front line that would be with Ohtani and Cease in a short series. And knowing that you might be able to get another offensive weapon too. They've just been plagued with all those injuries, Rendon with Neto, you know, having to go get Eduardo Escobar and Mike Moustakas. But I'm with you, Patrick. I mean, I've had to go to the thesaurus and see if there's any other synonyms to find. And it's hard to really decide on one because he just embodies something we've never seen, at least in the modern era in our game.
Jensen, I have to object quickly on the Marcus Stroman reference to potentially acquire. To me, he's pitched extremely well this year, but from what I've heard, not necessarily the best guy within your clubhouse or locker room to a certain extent. Expand upon what you think of Stroman. I know he's had a great season.
Yeah, he's got an eccentric personality, Amal. There's no question about that. And I think I was thinking more so on the baseball side of it, like you're a hired gun. And you know, a guy that keeps the ball down and gets a lot of ground balls, it would make sense knowing out there in Anaheim, especially at night, the ball doesn't travel as much as it does during the day. And I think knowing, too, that he's going to bring an edge, he's going to bring an energy, and you might need just that much of a guy that might tip you over the diving board a little bit for that clubhouse chemistry. I think he would fall in line knowing that you've got Trout, you've got Ohtani. Almost gives me vibes of when Randy Moss and Tom Brady were together. I mean, you just had two ultimate studs, and whoever was coming over fell in line there and just knew that this is about the team. It's not about one individual.
So they're going to get freed. They're going to get right back. Can you help me, Jensen, understand the Atlanta Braves' weakness? Because I'm having trouble trying to find one.
Yeah, you know, Patrick, I think for them, it wouldn't surprise me if they guard against any further injury to the rotation and maybe look for a starting pitching reinforcement. It doesn't have to be a top-end guy. But Alex Anthopoulos is really magical in diagnosing inside those walls what his team really, really needs. It wouldn't shock me, too, if they go and find another reliever just to take the pressure off those starters having to go really deep into ball games. Offensively, I'm with you. I don't know what else. They've scored more runs in the first inning, I think, than any club. It feels like you're behind early and often, knowing what they've been able to do. I think Matt Olson has more RBIs in the first inning than the Mets have total runs scored in the first inning. There's something absurd on that. I might be misspeaking, but it is remarkable what that offense has been able to do from day one.
Jensen, you've got to hold your breath, play at Coors under 12 with Chase Anderson on the bump against Emmett Sheehan in this one.
Yeah, you know, and Amal, this is kind of a play against where as the lineups are looking and trending to. And I know Chase Anderson hasn't been the biggest swing and miss guy, but the metrics for me feel like with Sheehan and the swing and miss capability and knowing that, you know, Colorado is not going to roll out the best of lineups either today. I was going to look at the first five, but to me, I think this could be just a bit more. Let's see if fatigue sets in a little bit at the end. Rested bullpen there for the Dodgers, albeit that has been a real area of concern for them for the majority of the season. I'll hold my nose on this, probably go against the public, and I'll see if the under can hit.
Okay, we're going to say goodbye in 2 minutes. I just wanted to bring this up because you ended your career with a sub, 3.70 ERA? Anytime you go sub four, it's a tremendous year. We were joking about Clayton Kershaw. He's had like three or four seasons of sub two. And when, if you just think about his generational numbers, like he doesn't necessarily, I think Amal said it, he's in LA, so maybe people on the East Coast don't see him as much, but what he's done for 16 years is wild.
Yeah, and I think he's, 35 years old, and it feels like he's been around for 20 years, you know, and he almost yep. has been, knowing he came up, you know, as a teenager, basically. Patrick, you talk about left-handers that have been easy slam-dunk Hall of Famers. We know that's what he's going to be. But what a fitting end it would be if he goes out, whether it's in the next couple of seasons, and leads a team that we thought on paper was going to be at their most vulnerable this year, mm-hmm. and here they are yet again just doing their thing.
Jensen, real quickly,
well put.
In your lifetime, best pitcher you've seen. We went starting pitcher, right, Patrick? I think we went starting pitcher.
Yeah, best starter you've just seen in your lifetime.
I think for utter dominance, Randy Johnson at his peak, it was just a nightmare. Like you saw so many lefties wanting to take a seat against him. And then my idol was Greg Maddux. And for a guy who didn't throw the hardest, just made you want to pull your hair out with all the late movement, just pinpoint control. When you get a name of a complete game shutout named after you, I think that's pretty damn dominant no matter how long you win.
Dominating performance again, Jensen Lewis, SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio. Of course, the pre and post with the Guardians, JLou50 on Twitter. Get out to Vegas. We'll see you. Thank you, Jensen.
You got it, guys. We'll see you soon.
Okay. Vinny Maliulo next here on Sharp Money.